gentlemen, welcome to Armbar!
I'm your host, Josh, and with me as always, my trusty partner, Nelson Sason.
Yes.
And these were the go-home... Go-home shows for Survivor Series. And you know what? Not really going to cover any matches because nothing happened except for one match. And we'll get to that. But...
Oh, man.
I have a couple bones to pick with the booking. First and foremost, I was really looking forward to seeing Sami Zayn versus Dolph Ziggler. In fact, Twitter was looking forward to seeing Sami Zayn versus Dolph Ziggler. Facebook was looking forward to seeing Sami Zayn versus Dolph Ziggler. You know who wasn't looking forward to, I have to assume? Vince McMahon. Because yeah. Dolph lost to The Miz on the SmackDown before Survivor Series. And all I can think is that Vince was like, well, you know, I don't like face-versus-face matches, so we're going to have to get The Miz the win here. And what the fuck is their fascination with giving The Miz titles?
I don't know. It's so weird to me.
This shit irritates me every time he gets a belt.
Because it seems like every time it's he takes it away from Dolph Ziggler. Almost.
Or Zack Ryder.
Yeah. That's very true.
God.
I don't understand it.
And the fact that he is main evented a WrestleMania and not CM Punk pisses me off even more. I try to give The Miz the benefit of the doubt. I try to. And then they pull this shit.
Yeah.
He's worse than Roman Reigns. I'm mad.
Oh, man. You mad, bro?
Very fucking mad. Even Sami Zayn's mad. Sami Zayn tweeted out he was looking to steal in the show with Dolph Ziggler. No one told Sami Zayn, which is another reason why I think it was like a last-minute decision.
Mm.
God damn it, Vince. I try to defend you. I try so hard to defend you. But when you do shit like this, it makes it really hard to fucking defend you. Well, I don't even get mad because wins and losses don't matter. They don't, because it's not real. It's scripted. But this is what does matter. Me seeing a fucking match I wanted to see, and that was Sami Zayn versus Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
Seriously, you know how badly my Twitter and Facebook blew up today with people bitching about that and coming to me for answers like I have some sort of inside poll?
That bad, huh?
Yeah, it's that fucking bad.
I was unaware.
It does mean we're reaching people, but Jesus.
Yeah, I was honestly kind of speechless. I looked down for a split second, and I was like, wait a minute. Is that The Miz's music?
As soon
Did
as that
win?
As soon as that happened, I tweeted to you, God damn it.
Yeah. And then I looked at my phone like 30 minutes later, like, oh, yeah, Josh was watching. All
right. So pissed.
Oh, man.
So pissed.
I have no words for it in all honesty.
My only hope. This is my hope.
A sniper's bullet?
Well, no, I have two hopes. One or two things happen. Dolph screws The Miz because The Miz cheated like 5 times to win that belt. And that's another thing that irritates me is when the face overcomes multiple cheating things to then get cheated again to finally lose it.
Yeah.
That irritates me. It's like if the first and second cheat doesn't work, the face should always go over.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure it was 4 things. Feet on the ropes, Spirit Squad. Maybe it was only 3 with his wife. I don't know. I was just pissed.
Hmm.
But yeah, when you cheat that many times, you shouldn't go over. Because after the second attempt at cheating doesn't work, then you should lose. Like had the Spirit Squad cost him, or the feet on the ropes cost him, I could have lived with that. But then
yeah,
we went to
so
a
many,
third
yeah,
one.
There were so many attempts at cheating. It was really excessive.
Yeah.
Very excessive.
So pissed that we're not going to see Sami Zayn versus Dolph Ziggler. So pissed.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate because that was going to be one of the matches I know both of us were going to be looking forward to. That was going to be
That's
a
the
bummer.
Only fucking singles match I can think of. I mean, we're going to go through and make our picks.
See, now I'm just trying to think of the singles matches. I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know if there are any besides
I
that.
I just don't like seeing The Miz.
Yeah, because
really
both the major champions are in the
Brian Kendrick versus Kalisto.
Oh, yeah.
But here's what I hope happens. I hope either Dolph Ziggler costs the Miz the belt, and the belt goes to SmackDown or Raw, and he fucking leaves. And he goes to Raw too. Or Sami Zayn wins, and then Zayn says, "You know what? Everyone wanted this match. I'm challenging Dolph Ziggler right now for the belt." And then Dolph wins, and then Sami gets fired by Stephanie for doing that,
and gets hired,
and then hired by Shane. Yeah,
that's what I would prefer. I you know, because Sami Zayn's just being wasted
on Raw,
horribly wasted on Raw.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even care about the Braun Strowman storyline they got going with him. I would rather Sami Zayn just go to SmackDown.
Yeah, I think both Sami Zayn and SmackDown would benefit from that.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like the idea of what they're trying to do with Braun Strowman. But just throwing Sami Zayn at it isn't working for either of them.
Yeah, because you're burying Sami Zayn, a guy you're supposed to be building up. A guy who beat your champion clean several times.
Yes.
But that leads me into my second point. What the fuck is Daniel Bryan doing as that GM? Because last week, my girl, my future baby mama, Alexis Bliss, gets screwed over by the ref, not seeing her feet on the ropes. That is two title matches in a row. Where someone lost because the ref didn't see what they should have seen.
Yeah. If we were to believe that Daniel Bryan has any sort of power, he's doing a piss poor job.
Exactly. Worst general manager ever.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening there. I think he's being distracted with the fact that he wants one more match.
And again, this is all a work because it's fucking wrestling. Mm. But how many times have we seen heels pull shady shit with a face GM, and the GM comes out and either restarts the match or reverses the decision? Seen Austin do it.
Yeah.
Seen Michaels do it. Seen Shane do it. Seen Mick do it on the numerous times he's been a GM.
Yeah.
Teddy Long's done it.
But then again, Teddy Long has the honor of being the only man I know of
to break up a pin with throwing a shoe.
Yes.
Greatest moment in SmackDown history. Actually, second greatest moment in SmackDown history. Greatest moment in SmackDown history, and they showed it. All-time favorite moment.
Yeah, that was the first moment they showed.
I know, the very first SmackDown title match. The going for the people's elbow. Nope, sweet chin music.
Out of nowhere.
Oh, God, I love that. I remember, I don't know if we were watching it as a big group of friends, but I just remember screaming, like, yes!
I think I might have just been at your house. I don't remember if we were
so
watching it.
So fucking happy when that happened.
That was pretty hilarious.
But yeah, Daniel, I love you. In spite of you being a hippie. I mean, we share the same beard and hairstyle, what we used to, until you became a pussy and cut it.
Hey. You can now cosplay as Edge.
I can.
Because he grew his hair back. Fast.
I was so happy when I saw him.
He grew it out so fast, and that beard was majestic.
It was. It makes me not want to shave mine come December.
Oh, speaking of all that.
No, I'm not done. You're going to make me lose track, okay?
Finish this.
So, Daniel, you're kind of a shitty GM. So, but leads me into my next point real quick, and you can say what you're going to say. But the weird-ass booking of Thursday night, like, when we had Charlotte buy a ticket, Shades of Scott Hall, to SmackDown, and then Nikki gets disqualified for smacking Charlotte, and that had nothing to do with the actual match. She gets disqualified, and then Charlotte jumps her, and then the rest of the Raw women come out, and fucking Bayley, Bayley starts kicking on a beatdown Nikki Bella. That is so out of character for Bayley.
It's very weird, but all I could think
is, bugged me.
Oh, yeah, it definitely bugged me because I noticed it immediately, too.
Because I said, is Bayley in there? And you're like, yeah. And I was like, what the hell is Bayley doing there? And then Carmella, who's been feuding with Nikki, saves Nikki. Nah. I said, God, I hope Carmella starts kicking her. And then she helps her. I was like, this sucks.
See, I understand what they were doing, but it doesn't make it any less jarring to the fact that you have faces and heels breaking character to go with the team aspect of Survivor Series. I get the whole thing.
Yeah, and there's no way Bayley would ever do that. That's what bugs me the most about that, is Bayley doing that.
Yeah, that's the part that really, it was too jarring. It was too much. I get what they were trying to do. They were trying to be all
And because she's about as white meat, white bread baby face as they come in the women's division.
Yeah.
She's the only one in that women's division that I wouldn't expect to do that. And if you look at the men's side, I could see any of the men, like, doing it for their team. I don't think there's any white bread baby face on either side.
No, not at all.
In fact, I think the teams are made up mostly of heels, though, on the men's side.
I think you're right.
Yeah, so.
The only faces are There's only two
faces on the Raw team. He's heel-ish, though. He would definitely partake in a beatdown of somebody else.
Oh, yeah.
Shane and
Ambrose are the only heels I can think of.
You mean faces?
Faces I can think of.
It's AJ. Shit, I can't even think of the SmackDown team off the top of my head.
AJ, Dean.
Shane. There's two more.
Randy.
Well, Randy's kind of a good guy.
He's a wolf in sheep's clothing.
A
wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yeah.
Did you catch the state of the WWE universe?
No, because I had to go pick up my nephew from his job.
Okay, so it was a special on the network.
I did hear though that Daniel Bryan got into Foley.
Dude, okay, I was watching it, listening to it in rush hour traffic the day after, and it was entertaining. It was one of those things where you're like, I don't know if this is a shoot or a work. It was kind of a mess because this is my assessment of it. Foley and Brian were shooting.
Yeah.
Steph was trying to steer it back to a work. And Renee Young just gave up trying to control the thing. And Shane was like, I fucking hurt. That's literally all that happened. And we didn't even get to hear what Foley was going to say off of it from his new book, because Renee was trying to steer it back and apparently Foley was rambling. So it became a shoot.
Yeah, I think Brian, because he was forced to retire,
mm-hmm.
I think he so badly wants to get back in there that when anybody brings up the fact that he can't, it pisses him off.
Yeah, I could see
that. And I don't blame him. It's like, granted, The Miz doing it,
that's someone he doesn't like doing it. That shit would piss me the fuck off.
That, and also, The Miz is that kind of a heel, though, and I respect The Miz for going there, because sometimes you gotta push those buttons.
Oh, yeah.
Jericho's gone there, too, as a heel.
I'm just saying, personally, you know, if someone I disliked that much brought up something like that to me, I don't know that I would have been able to stop myself from punching them in the face. So kudos on Brian for not doing that on live television. But still, Mick Foley bringing that out on him was, I was like, oh, holy shit, he went there. Oh, Brian's going back.
Yep.
And I was like, what the fuck is going on? And you could tell Steph was desperately trying to get it back under control.
Yeah, I know,
and
right?
She was not doing so well because she kept interrupting and saying the exact same thing. She's like, yeah, Sunday, it's our pay-per-view. We beat you in the ring on Monday. And every time she said that, all I could think was, do you not remember reverse momentum?
Yeah.
That does not bode well for your team, but it is Survivor Series, so we don't know.
Yeah.
And it was entertaining. It was one of those things that really kind of blurred the line. You can't tell if something is going the way it's supposed to or someone's going off script. They ended it abruptly because they ran out of time.
Yeah. But it was. I heard about it. I didn't get a chance to watch it.
Definitely check that out.
I also like how instead of Shane and Daniel Bryan threatening to fire people like Stephanie, The Undertaker's like, fucking don't lose.
Or I'm kicking your ass. Or
beating your ass.
Yeah, I was so confused by his little promo at the end of SmackDown. I was like, are you saying you're coming back to semi-regular competition?
Here's my thing about The Undertaker. Remember I made my long prediction that The New Day would have it through Survivor Series? Mm-hmm. And guess who was fucking right?
You?
Me. No one else. I called that shit back in, what, June?
Yeah, you did.
No one else thought it. Everyone was calling every pay-per-view. They're going to lose. They're going to like, nope.
They're going to lose and break up. That's what everyone was calling for.
Especially not me.
With especially with the feud with the Wyatts.
I am the goddamn Oracle. Called that shit. So they're still going to have it. In fact, they're going to have it longer. I said they'd lose the Survivor Series. I didn't think there'd be a big tag team versus tag team thing at Survivor Series.
Yeah, so they're probably...
I'm still right.
I'd say at the earliest, they'd probably...
I said they'd have it at least through...
Oh, TLC is the next pay-per-view. That's a SmackDown
pay-per-view. I'm thinking about making a bold prediction that they're going to have to Rumble.
Oh, Rumble.
I don't think they're going to have it that long. If they get to the Rumble and win, then fuck it, I'll go Mania.
Well, I mean, there's only two pay-per-views
after. But I don't see the... I don't know. I don't see the New Day losing it, except for at one of the big four, so...
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, they've gone long enough, and they're trying to have them break the record anyway.
And they haven't shown us any team on Raw that's strong enough to beat them.
Yeah, because I mean, the Club is the only heel team currently, besides what, the Vaudevillains. No, that's on SmackDown.
Yeah, that's SmackDown.
Yeah, the Club is the only heel team, and they don't respect them for shit in booking, and it's upsetting to me. Like, I'm already long past the point of caring about the Club, except for the fact that when I see them, it makes me sad and angry at booking.
Yep.
It's like, it's CM Punk thing all over again. You're getting handed chicken salad and you're turning it into chicken shit. What the fuck is happening?
Steal that from? Who says that?
CM Punk said that in his DVD.
I want to say, that's... Oh.
It's a saying.
That sounds like a Jim Cornette saying, though.
Probably. Sounds
like something Jim Cornette would say.
I think Stone Cold might have said it once. But, yeah, it's one of those.
I will say this. The one thing I would constantly agree with Jim Cornette is my hatred for Vince Russo and Eric Bischoff.
Yeah, his story about when he first met Eric Bischoff, that was an entertaining.
From the What Culture interview? Did you watch that?
Yeah, the one that you showed me? Yeah.
Oh, did I show that? Oh, that's right.
Yeah, you showed it to me.
That was Saturday.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it was.
All right. Well, let's get our predictions down.
Yeah, let's get that out of the way.
So, we forgot about the biggest singles match on the card. Fucking Brock versus Goldberg.
Oh, yeah!
Shows you how much we actually care about that match.
The only time I cared about that match was WrestleMania 20, and I was so upset that that match was not that good. Though, I did recently read something that was like, you know, if you go back and watch that match without the sound on, I think it was JR that might have said it, the match wasn't that bad.
I never cared about that match, because who has never liked those two? Me. I never liked Goldberg. I never got caught up in the hype, because I was like, he's just Ultimate Warrior 2.0. He's got three big explosive moves. He gets people excited. Yeah. Because that especially, I was all into the technical guys. That's why my favorite part about WCW was the Cruiserweights. My favorites were Shawn and Bret. Perfect.
I liked Goldberg for what he was, which was, you know, Warrior 2.0. I liked him because of the fact that he was a face going against the NWO, which was going very stale at that point. And I would never say that he was ever one of my favorites, but I enjoyed him for what he was, which was a flash in the pan. So it's...
Like, I have nothing against Goldberg.
Yeah, I got nothing against him, but he's definitely not my favorite.
He never excited me, because it's just kind of like, I don't know, when...
Well, when they broke the streak, that's when he lost all of his mystique.
It's not even that. I like squash matches when it's a monster heel, because it makes it something for the good guy, the top face, to overcome.
Yeah.
But when you have a face squashing everybody,
well,
it's not as exciting.
The thing is, when he first started off, he wasn't a heel or a face. He just was just...
Well, I know, but he became a face. Because his first big feud was with the Flock.
Yeah.
Which also didn't get him on, like, good terms.
Once he got a title, and I'm not even talking about the WCW title, I'm talking about the U.S. title.
U.S. title, yeah.
That's when he was essentially turned into a face. And that's when he started waning on me.
Yeah, but see, that's when I like Brock. That's why originally I like Brock more. Because Brock came in as a straight-up fucking heel. He just demolished the Hardys.
Yeah.
That was just fantastic. And the Hardys had a push, too, because Goldberg came in squashing no names. Freaking Brock came in squashing big times.
He beat Mongo McMichael, the most powerful member of the Four Horsemen.
Shut the fuck up. But you know who he never beat? Chris Jericho.
That's very
3-0 against Goldberg.
That's very true.
That was the only time I cared about a feud Goldberg was in, was when Jericho would call him out.
And it's ridiculous that WCW did nothing with that, because that was so entertaining. Well, that just shows you how
shitty their booking was, because shit, it could have built up to like a 5-second match and it would have been fine. I would have been bitter as shit. Mike would have been bitter as shit. But
you would have enjoyed all of it up until that point. All
the build up to it, yeah.
Up until that point, you would have been... Well, technically, that's essentially what happened, except without a match.
Is it any kind of coincidence WCW really started going to shit after Jericho showed up on WWE? I don't think so.
No, not at all.
But, all right, so let's get down to our picks.
All right.
All right. First up, we got the Brian Kendrick versus Kalisto.
I think Kalisto's taking it.
You got Kalisto?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Kalisto, too, because with the Cruiserweight show being filmed before SmackDown, I think it's that's
see. I think the Cruiserweight division is an odd entity all on its own. I think it's gonna be more like a its own brand, but like a.
I think it should be its own brand. I think it'd be better off.
I think it's gonna be more like an NXT, and you're probably right. It would be better as its own brand, but I don't know that it's necessarily gonna be to the extent as like an NXT. I think it's gonna be an extension. It's got its
own show, so it's gonna be.
I think it's gonna be an extension of. of a show of SmackDown per se, but not as tied to it as it is to tied to Raw right now.
All right, Miz versus Sami Zayn.
Fuck. I'm gonna go with the Miz.
I'm gonna go Sami, and then double super secret match. Sami challenges Dolph Ziggler, and Dolph wins.
I hope that's what happens, but I'm just gonna go with the Miz on this one. It just seems because it's the lazy route, and I feel like whenever the Miz is involved on something slapped together like this, they usually go the lazy route.
All right, so but let's say I'm right. Let's say Dolph Ziggler screws, or not even screws the Miz. Well, I think Dolph's going to be involved no matter what. I think he's either going to screw the Miz, Sami wins. Sami's going to win clean. He's going to challenge Dolph. So let's say we get Dolph versus Sami. Who do you got? Because we'll make that a side pot, too.
Dolph.
Okay, so we're going to be in agreement there.
Yeah.
Because then I think Sami's going to get fired and then picked up by SmackDown. Yeah.
If
that happens, you heard it on what, Nelson?
Armbar!
You heard it on the armbar. Josh McCain called that shit because I'm smarter than everybody else. The fucking Oracle. No one else called New Day making it this far back in the summertime. I did. Goddamn, I'm good. All right, so the tag team classic match, which is a lot of fucking people.
That's a 12-man tag
match. Who do you got?
Holy crap.
I'll tell you, I got Raw, and I think someone from the New Day is going to come out and win it for him. Or Cesaro and Sheamus, one of those two.
I want to go Raw, but I'm going to go SmackDown.
You're going to go SmackDown.
Yeah, just to have some different picks.
Well, I mean, we've got two different picks now.
Yeah. That and plus, it's just like... You know, the New Day has their momentum. I don't think the Survivor Series loss is going to affect them.
No, but they need to build up the tag team division in Raw.
Yeah, true enough.
All right, women's Survivor Series match. Who you got?
I'm going to go Raw.
Ooh, because I'm going to go SmackDown. After that beatdown that Nikki got, I think that Raw is going to get some comeuppance.
I think... in spite of the women's division being better on SmackDown, I think the company's focus is on the Raw women's division.
You know, bold prediction for this match, Alexis Bliss gets the win for Raw. SmackDown.
For Raw.
To further make her claim. Because here's why I think SmackDown's going to win. Raw has the top three women wrestlers in the country. Maybe the world.
Yeah.
With Charlotte, Bayley, and Sasha.
Yes.
SmackDown needs a push. They need to solidify themselves and make themselves stronger. And Becky's pretty much up there. She's like 3B. Mm-hmm. Like, I think you've got Sasha and Charlotte up here. My hand's about forehead high for those of you who can't see us, which is everybody because this is not a video podcast. And then Bayley and Becky are like mouth high. They're not quite as high. They're almost there. And you know who should be up there with Bayley and Becky? Alexis. That's why I think she's going to win it for SmackDown. Because that makes her a stronger heel. And when she does take the belt from Becky, which I think will be at the next SmackDown pay-per-view, it makes her look strong. It makes Becky look strong. And we get a damn good feud that I think will be better than Charlotte and Sasha. Because you know what? Charlotte and Sasha's already bored me to shit. I don't care when they wrestle anymore. I don't care how good it is. I'm bored with it. I've seen it too many times.
I understand that, though. That Hell in a Cell, I did enjoy a lot. So.
It's fine. I didn't care about it. I mean, it was a good match.
Yeah.
I had no care about who won that match.
All right.
Because I'm bored with those two wrestling each other now.
Yeah, it's to that point. I get that. So, yeah, moving on.
Then we have the men's Raw versus SmackDown.
Men's Raw versus SmackDown.
This one is like a toss-up to me. I have no idea.
Yeah, it's so hard. I don't... Oh, man. I might have to go Raw on this one just because of Undertaker's ominous threat.
I'm gonna have
thus, to. Plus, that, you know, that kind of makes it seem like he's coming back to semi regular competition.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go Raw too. Oh, by the way, speaking of semi competition, him and Kane, the Brothers of Destruction, reunited for the dark match.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they did. Nice.
I feel like this is his go. This is his farewell tour.
I think so too. I'm gonna have to go. I'm gonna have to go Raw with you too, because Stephanie's ultimatum of firing people. I don't see anybody on the Raw roster that they would send over to SmackDown. And since the ultimatum for SmackDown was The Undertaker whooping people's ass, we think Undertaker's coming back. So I think Raw wins that one.
Yeah.
Which sucks, because I remember for the longest time with the brand extension, I was always Team Raw. I'm finally on Team SmackDown. I'm like, fuck!
I can't even root for them because The Undertaker is going on his farewell tour. Which is probably... I feel like it might also be Kane's farewell tour, too.
Hey, Glenn needs to retire.
Yeah. I mean, granted, he can still go for the most part. He just can't go as regularly.
See, you know what always kind of, before we get to the last match, always kind of, like, giving me the wonder about how long wrestlers stay in. Like, granted, some of them make stupid financial decisions. Ric Flair. but...
He had, like, 5 ex-wives.
Yeah. But, man, that is such a beatdown on your body. Like, I think that's definitely a job. Like, if I did that or, like, professional football... And I was financially secure. I could see myself retiring out of that thing in less than 10 years. Just because the beat down on your body. Because it's kind of what Edge said, that he wants to be able to play with his kids instead of watching them play.
Yeah.
And he just barely got out in time. It's just one of those things, like, I think if I was 10 years into the business and I was at a level of headlining WrestleMania and making millions of dollars and I'd saved it up and... I would honestly think about retiring before it was my time. I'd go out like Shawn Michaels. Like, yeah. I think the best retirement has been Shawn Michaels 2.0. Because he did everything he could do. He was doing it for the love of it. And then he was just like, you know what? My kids are at that age where they're doing sports. They're doing all these things. I want to see them do it. Yeah. I don't want to be on the road. I'm retired.
Well, and plus, you know, his second run, I feel like, wasn't that longer than his initial run? Or am I thinking of Kurt Angle in TNA?
You know what? I'd have to do the math. I'd have to, like, really look at it and do the math.
That reminds me. Sorry, I just have to say this before I forget it. On the State of the Union, State of the Universe special, freaking Daniel Bryan dropped the mic on Mick. And he's like... Mick said something about retiring. He's like, wait a minute. Yeah, you did retire, but then you went back.
Oh,
you went to TNA and wrestled.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, holy shit.
Yeah, and I bet you Daniel Bryan's going to get a stern talking to because you don't bring up TNA and WWE TV.
No, not until they buy it, at least.
Yeah, which is kind of funny because when they talk about AJ, they talk about New Japan and Ring of Honor.
Yeah, I mean...
They don't talk about TNA.
I mean, on the Stone Cold podcast, they did, but that's because Stone Cold has... He gets away with a lot more than most people.
Yeah, but to your point about Shawn Michaels, it's like You know, he was gone for like 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like he never missed a beat. It was amazing. Those 4 years, as just a diehard Shawn Michaels fan as I was, felt like the longest time because I never thought he was coming back.
It felt like a decade.
But looking back on it, because he was so good when he came back, I forget that he left sometimes.
Exactly.
Like, look, mostly because, like, the Attitude Era, like, I know I'm going to get hate for this, was not my favorite era. And I think it's because my favorite was Forced to Retire. And so I watched it, but I couldn't, I never really latched on to anybody like I latched on to Shawn Michaels. So without Shawn being there, it was one of those.
It was hard.
It was one of those things, like, it's that. Like, because I got onto the Austin train late. Like, I was a fan of Austin after WrestleMania 13 with Bret Hart. But then when he retired Shawn, I was bitter.
Yeah, I get that. I completely get that.
And so it was like, I was trying to latch on to Triple H, but I could never go, like, full on be a fan of his. I think the closest I got to latching on to somebody was Kurt Angle and Jeff Hardy for a while. And then Jeff Hardy pissed me off.
Kurt Angle was fantastic.
I love, like, probably looking back in the absence of Shawn Michaels, Kurt Angle is my favorite.
Oh, he was so great. Though, I will admit, I hopped on the Kurt Angle train late. Because his first year, I just did not like him. But that's to his credit, because I didn't like him because he was such an asshole and he was so good at his character that he made me not
like him. I was always on the Kurt Angle train, even when he was too white-faced of a babyface, just because I watched the Olympics. I watched him win that gold medal with a broken neck. So when he came to WWE, I was super excited because, as you know, I was on the wrestling team for one match because I didn't know, like, the rules of wrestling.
Kind of like how Hernandez walked into Michaels and asked for a paycheck.
Yeah, it was literally like my whole career in middle school wrestling was, I knew WWE and WCW, that was about it.
You threw out a drop kick.
No, my friends told me the sharpshooter was legal, so the first thing I did, dude, I shot for someone's legs, got them on their back, slapped them in the sharpshooter. I was like this close, and I'm doing like that this close thing to get suspended because I got kicked out of the meet. I ended up getting kicked off the wrestling team.
Good job.
But in my defense, I shot on somebody, got him in the sharpshooter. You know how hard it is to get somebody in the sharpshooter when they're resisting? Really fucking hard.
Yeah, it took me a second. I was like, how the fuck did he do that?
I think it was the element of surprise because the kid had no idea what the fuck I was doing.
You know what's funny, though? In my mind, you said middle school, right?
Yeah.
In my mind, I'm imagining Tyler.
That I did it to him?
Yeah, because he was on the wrestling team. For a minute,
I think it was against Lakeridge. It wasn't against Green Park.
Which, but in my mind, it's still funny.
The reason why I was on the wrestling thing, because I didn't really want to do it, because I took winter off because I played football in the fall, played baseball in the spring, and I was like just chilled in the wintertime.
Yeah.
The only reason why I did it because my math teacher in sixth grade, Mr. Zeman, was the wrestling coach, and he needed someone in my weight class, and he knew I was a WWE fan, so he kind of like he used that.
Did he come to Potomac?
Mr. Zeman, no.
Because that name sounds so familiar. I don't know why.
He was one of my all-time favorite teachers. He was Well, he, like, when I was in high school, he would help work with me on baseball and stuff like that, and we trained together after school, so.
Oh, yeah, you probably just talked about him, and I'm just...
Yeah, because he was awesome.
Remember that name by hearing
it. So all you future teachers out there, just take a little time extra for some students, and you'll become their favorite teacher. Doesn't take much.
Oh, yeah.
Just takes a push in the right direction.
Exactly.
So, we got way off track there because we were talking about how much I disdain for Goldberg and Brock Lesnar.
Did we even get to that match yet?
We're at that match. That's where we got sidetracked. We got to pick a winner for it.
All right.
I'm going to go Goldberg because I know he said you're last and he has the one-up on Brock. But I don't feel like Goldberg would come back to lose.
Yeah, especially if it's his last match.
I don't even know if it's the last match.
If it's true that if he's, you know, shooting and he's saying this is going to be his one last time, I don't see him losing. So I'm going to go with Goldberg as well. There? Yeah.
And here's my super secret double prediction. Because everyone's talking about Shane at Mania. They're talking about Shane and Brock at Mania. They're talking about it so much that I've become a believer of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think Shane screws Brock to somehow. I don't fucking know how.
A sniper's bullet.
I don't know. Because Shane's already in a match. Somehow he screws Brock. And Goldberg comes to SmackDown.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, If it truly is not his last match, then I definitely see him losing. But
see, I just don't see him coming back to lose, because he doesn't need to. I mean, I know the video game has kind of propped it up and everything like that. It's kind of like gotten everybody excited for it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, and he's saying like, "Oh, for my kids," but we heard that from Shane already. So I don't know, because like he didn't need to come back or anything like that.
Yeah.
And, fuck it, they haven't seen him live, and I don't see him being like, they haven't seen me live. I don't see him being like, they haven't seen me live, and then him come back and losing.
True.
So, I don't know, I just don't, and Brock's under contract, and Brock will lose occasionally. I mean, maybe this is the first of a couple matches
between the two. Yeah, I mean, he's lost, like, how many since he's gotten back? Like, three?
He lost to The Undertaker.
He lost to Triple H once.
Didn't he lose to Cena once?
I think he lost to Cena once. And then...
Technically lost to Seth Rollins.
Technically. So it's four.
Yeah. Four that we can think of.
Yeah. So. Yeah, he just... he does, like, when it happens, apparently it's not memorable, because I can barely remember. But yeah.
That's because there's so far a few between, and we get so many great matches in between. And all of his matches is just him suplexing people.
Yeah. I was never really a Brock Lesnar fan on his first run, though I was starting to warm up to him on his first run. Then he decided, oh, I'm going to leave because I'm a dick. His second time around, you know, I don't know how anybody got excited about his matches, because literally all he does is suplex people.
And I'm going to update.
Maybe a knee in the corner, maybe.
This might come back to bite me in the ass, but I just pulled up Facebook real quick. Capitals are up 4-0 on the Penguins halfway through the second period. Fuck you, Pittsburgh. And back to our regularly scheduled program.
Yeah. Remember, you're not allowed to believe until the finals of the Stanley Cup.
I'm not going to believe. You know what? This year I'm not going to believe until there's 1 second to go. They have like a 5-goal lead in game 7.
Yeah. That's pretty much the only time you're allowed to believe. Because I keep telling you, you're not allowed to believe until they make it to the finals of the Stanley Cup. That's it.
Speaking of trying not to believe, the Redskins are actually, if you compare them to other teams in the NFC, are a good team. And if the season ended today, they'd be in the playoffs.
Which is weird to me, because I don't feel like they've been that good.
And I look back on their games and the games they've lost and tied, they really should only have like one loss right now. I'm like, and we're not that good, but we should be that good. It's, fuck, we're getting off subject because it's not a football show, it's a wrestling show. That's going for 2.com, our sister Stason. So that's going to do it for the podcast this week. As we always say, watch wrestling.
Yes.
Make sure you watch a lot of wrestling. If you're watching this on YouTube, or if you're just an audio listener, listen on Podbeam, iTunes, or whatever other pod thing you get this through, go check out the Clash of the Nerds YouTube channel. You can listen to it on YouTube. We've got our video game podcast, which is video. In fact, you know what? I think we're going to change this to video. We're going to set that up. We're going to do a video podcast. Nelson and I are going to talk about it. We're going to figure out how we're going to do the video. We're going to see where we're going
to
set up.
Well, that's actually pretty easy to do. We just need to record it, and then I'll just throw it up.
Shut up, Nelson, because now they expect it.
Yeah.
I was trying to make it sound like it was difficult for you.
Well, it is, because I have timing issues, but recording it, that's not really the
issue. So we'll get that going. We're going to video, because I feel that will help the YouTube channel. But go over to the YouTube channel, check out our video game stuff, go ahead and like and subscribe it, because we do goody things. I'm almost tempted to give away my Intercontinental title, because The Miz has sullied it once again.
Don't do that.
But then I think about the greats who have had that Intercontinental title. Like,
you mean the greatest champion to bring it back, Cody Rhodes?
Yeah, I know. Fuck you, WWE, for letting him go.
Yeah.
Though, I need to figure out how to watch the matches, because he set some good matches over at What Culture Wrestling over in Europe. Him and Kurt Angle, so.
We'll talk about it after the... we stop recording, because I think you can watch it.
Well, I think World Culture, you can watch them after the fact for free. Yeah. I think. I don't know. I haven't, like, delved deep into that. But anyways, this is where we're going to wrap it up. Survivor Series. You know what? Post-Survivor's thing, we're going to think of a bet for me and Nelson. And the loser of this is going to have a punishment of some kind. I'm thinking it has to run 3 miles while the other one chases him in a car.
I'm not doing that.
We'll think of something, because we have to have consequences. And Nelson wasn't ballsy this time to say, that's not going to happen, and challenge me to a bet when he knows I'm the Oracle and I'm almost never wrong.
No, there was nothing that we really disagreed on. No. And plus, being Baron Corbin's not on the team anymore, so that albatross is
your
gone.
Favorite guy. Fuck. All right, so good night, Canada. Good night, Japan. Good night, U.S.
Indeed.